Hey friends, and welcome back to Kendall's World. In case you're new here, my name is Kendall Furman, and I'm an entrepreneur, content creator, podcast host, and now author of You Are the Medicine, my self-discovery journey to finding fulfillment within. This podcast is essentially about my world. I've traveled to almost 40 countries, have taken the strongest psychedelic in the world, have dealt with depression and anxiety for years now, and learned to build a relationship with them rather than avoiding them, and have learned and still learning to find my medicine within. I'm just here to share my stories and share what I've learned along the way in hopes of inspiring you on your path as well. In this podcast, I share my experiences from traveling the world, the insights I've gained through my spiritual journey, mindset tips and mindfulness practices that I've learned throughout the years, and intuitive downloads I've gotten through psychedelic and plant medicine ceremonies. Some of the episodes are just me talking directly to you, sharing some of my insights. Some are guided meditations, and sometimes I bring on experts to go deeper into topics like astrology, energy work, tarot cards, holistic health, and more. So if you're interested in learning more about spirituality, mindset, and travel, then definitely subscribe to my podcast on wherever you listen to your podcasts and follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube for more fun content. Lastly, if you feel like you want to support me and this podcast, you can buy me a cup of tea linked below. And my book pre-sale is launched now, so if you want to buy a book and support my publishing journey, I've linked that below as well. All right, enough of the intro. Let's get into this week's episode. In this episode, I have a very special guest, Olivia Alexander, who is the CEO and founder of Kush Queen, which she has grown into a multi-million dollar brand with only the finest cannabis-infused products, including bath bombs, gummies, pre-rolls, and cannabis-infused skincare products, and so much more. Now she is the author of The Essential Guide to Cannabis for Women, and we have a lot to chat about on this episode. So welcome, Olivia. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
I know. I feel like we've been talking for a while on social media, and we finally met up the other day, and you gave me like all the products, the book, and I'm just so excited to get into this. And I guess just to start, let's get into your background, because I'm sure a lot of people are curious like how you even got into the cannabis industry. And first and foremost, like what sparked your love for cannabis?
Well, I tried cannabis for the first time when I was 18. I was supposed to do a group project, and evidently the group project was a giant bong. And I literally slept, I had the best night of sleep. And I was like, whoa, this is probably a lie. Like everything I knew about cannabis, very conservative childhood, Louisiana stigmatized view of cannabis. And then essentially a boyfriend at the time, his friends were opening up a dispensary, and I started working as a bud tender at 18. And that's just when my mind was blown. I couldn't believe how many people were coming into the dispensary, for reasons not to get high. It almost seemed like there are more people there to get high just to feel better. And that really kicked it all off for me. I then spent the next like 16 years working in cannabis, working for cannabis companies, doing influencing. I had a marketing agency at one point, and then I got deleted off of Instagram, as many content creators do who post about cannabis or did. And then that's when I said, you know what? It's time for Kush Queen. It's the Kush Queen era. And that's when I really bet on myself. We reimagined the product line, and I took all that I knew and had learned at other companies and put it into the line. And then it's kind of been nonstop ever since. It's kind of one of those like be careful what you wish for situations, because you might end up with a multi-million dollar business and almost 30 employees. And it's really been a really wild journey. And especially because we make products in the hemp market and in the legal cannabis market in California, which is highly regulated. My eye literally started twitching as soon as I started talking about it, because it's really, really boring, but it really is how you get safe, clean cannabis. And I'm really just like one of those people who I'm like, pinch me, what is my life, you know? So that's the long story short.
You told me a little bit about your story when we met up, and like, it just sounds so stressful to own a business, especially in the cannabis industry where it is so highly regulated. And it's just crazy how it, like, it's so stigmatized even still. And where alcohol is still regulated, but alcohol is way worse for you. And it's so much more socially acceptable and legally acceptable to do things like that. Whereas cannabis, it's, you know, you've talked about like people go in for medicinal reasons, and it's still so much stigma. And even me, though, like I got into weed, like I was pretty a late bloomer when it came to like all things like that, because I grew up in a very Christian household. So weed was very stigmatized and at my school, very Christian. So I literally thought weed was like the devil's lettuce. Like literally I thought I was going to hell if I smoked weed. So I never smoked weed and I literally made a promise to God, like probably at 12, that I would never do any drugs and that I would wait till marriage to have sex, which none of those happened. Never kept any of those promises. Like literally here I am doing the strongest psychedelic in the world at 24. But I think it was at, I was 20 years old when I first smoked weed. And I remember it didn't do anything because I didn't like inhale it properly. You know, like the smoking part scared me. So I just like puffed it, like nothing happened. Then like 6 months later, I smoked a weed pen for the first time at like my company's holiday party. So funny. I probably should not have been allowed to smoke the weed, but all of the employees were giving it to me. I was like 21. But I got so stoned out of my mind. And I was like, literally, I was like, oh my God, like this is heaven. And I was in an Uber ride back by myself, looking out the window, like cracking up, dying because I was just so high. And then I was up so late with friends, like talking about it. And it was just opened my mind up to like, whoa, this is a different world. But it was crazy how stigmatized it is. And like, how did you move from that stigma? Because you said it was stigmatized for you too, but how did you get through that? And like, why do you think it's so stigmatized still?
Well, for me personally, my wellness and my mental health journey is what guided me past the fear of the stigma and really listening to my own body and my own connection to this plant, how it made me feel. And then once I actually worked in the dispensary and I touched it and I almost like knew it, I knew that it couldn't be this harmful thing. And then the older I got, the more educated I got, the more curious I got on the why of the stigma. And that's when you really can only go to the source of one thing and one thing only, and that's racism and the war on drugs. And really, originally, this plant was used thousands of years ago by tons of different people. They put it on their skin. They ate it. It was medicine. And then you have Anslinger and this like very early war on drugs in the 1920s, and that is really when it all kicked off. That's when cannabis became super stigmatized. And ultimately, I had so many people, especially when I started putting it online, you know, this was like very early days on Instagram, early days of just social media. And I was posting like my nails and weed. And then I was posting like joints and Louboutins and just like this other experience that wasn't a stoner experience, but I was a stoner. Mm-hmm. And then it was more of like an intentional sort of use of the plant outside of just like getting high. There is nothing wrong with getting high. I love getting high and having fun and having more of a vibey stoner experience, but there is tons of other ways to use cannabis. And that's the other thing about cannabis is like so many people use it for so many different reasons. And I think that by perpetuating the idea that like everyone's a lazy stoner and it rots your brain and all of these like really negative things around cannabis, it's been used as a tool as well to control people. I think that when you drink alcohol, your inhibitions are lowered because it technically like works differently scientifically inside of your body. And I think that's why alcohol has been promoted so much, is because honestly, it makes people's minds easier to control. It actually makes you have poor judgment, whereas cannabis is heightening your senses. More than that, you and I are animals. We all have a system inside of our body called the endocannabinoid system, or the ECS. That system is interacting with your most important body function, regulating your sleep, your mood, your appetite. And cannabis, what it's doing when you're really using it intentionally as a medicine, you are creating homeostasis in the body. And that is where like my Kush Queen philosophy, my philosophy of wellness, and sort of the reason that I was willing to risk my entire life to promote cannabis and be a part of the industry, is because when you really find that sweet spot with cannabis and your cannabis use, like daily oral cannabinoid use, like what I promote, you really truly can find a place of wellness that you're not going to find drinking alcohol every day. You're not going to find hitting a Juul, because this is medicine. And I also think that is another huge part of why the stigma still exists, is because of big pharma. I think that the data shows the more people use cannabis, the less they use alcohol, the less they use pharmaceuticals. That makes cannabis the enemy of some of the biggest industries and the biggest lobbies in the country. So it's a very complicated and sort of serious, like part of the plant, but it's really important that people know and understand it. And for me, I have never in my life slept through the night without cannabis. The way that I feel, the way that my skin feels, the way that I can move through my creativity. And I think it really just being well and being a good person in this world begins with yourself. You know this, you talk about this, you know, it's like it starts within you, and then you can go out and be a better person in this world. And for me, that's why I was like, I don't care what anyone says. I mean, the amount of people who are like, why are you posting yourself smoking weed on YouTube? Why you're ruining your life. They were like, you are ruining your life. And I'm like, honey, I was in a movie called Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader. Okay. I've ruined it. It's ruined. I'm good. You know, 'cause I was like
Why
a
didn't I
child
know
actor.
this?
I was a child actor, you know, I grew up in LA. I had this other it was just so weird to have people like calling my family being like, "What is she doing?" And I'm like, it's weird. Fast forward now. You know, I get the last laugh, but it's really just it's truly my passion, and I love this plant, and I love what it brings to people's lives. And so it's just kind of like we still have to work on dismantling the stigma. I think that because cannabis has been semi-legal in California since 1996, since you were born, essentially, I think that people think, oh, cannabis is everywhere. Look, all the rules are changing, but it's very stigmatized, especially if you talk to a doctor, especially if you talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, someone in the mental health space. I mean, it's wild the misinformation out there. When I wrote the book, I was like, the publisher was sending me all these articles, and I was like, this is bullshit, you know? And it's really truly going to take, I think, another 10 to 20 years to really see that stigma go away and the science prove what we all know, which is that cannabis is a medicine.
Yeah, wow, you said so many amazing things there. And it's funny because even though I know all the research and I've done a lot of the work to like deconstruct that shame I had around weed from Christianity, I still feel like it's still subconsciously there or it's reworked in a different light because even in the spiritual community, there's some stigma around, using psychedelics and cannabis. And even though like last night I posted a funny thing about how like, oh, my voice is gone because I smoked too much weed. And I didn't actually smoke that much weed. It was like a joke, but I still felt like I was like I had anxiety this morning waking up. I was like, oh shoot, I shouldn't have said that. Like people are gonna think I'm a stoner, but it's all like, why do I care? And also I still have like this stigma around weed because I like to use it in the same way as a medicine. The way that I use weed naturally is through a ceremony. Like I like to make it like a ritual. I smoke weed, I get in the shower, I do like a dance, I have my skylight music, I come out and I meditate and I do like energy work on myself because I don't know. I feel like a lot of people think you use weed to escape. I use weed to fully embody, to ground, to enter my heart space, and to feel my emotions. It actually, like, social media is the most disassociating thing I can do. That's my escape, is social media. So when I smoke weed, I have no desire to go on social media or do anything but meditate and go inward. And it helps me feel and, like, it gives that space between me and my emotions so that I can fully process them and transmute them. And I literally use it as a medicine, almost like a medicine ceremony. And honestly, since I've done ayahuasca and Bufo, which is DMT, weed has been so much more stronger for me. And it's been like I've been meeting it at a spiritual level, at an energetic level, rather than just recreationally, which there's nothing wrong with using it recreationally. I think there's a time and place for everything and it's fun. But the way that I like to use it now is like by myself in my room or with a few close friends and, having a ritual and a ceremony. But still at the same time, if I do it more than once a week, I feel so guilty and like ashamed. And I think maybe it's also because afterwards, I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. Sometimes I feel like I get a weed hangover where the next day I'm just so exhausted and I don't get very good sleep. And I think it's because I'm not waiting until I smoke weed too late, and then maybe I'm not using the right strain. And then the next day I kind of feel like almost strung out during it. I get all these downloads and ideas and it's fun and exciting, but then afterwards I feel guilty for it. Like I feel, and it's not even the weed itself, it's just the shame. It's the shame that makes me afraid of it, not the actual medicine itself that I know it's working for me, but then afterwards I feel guilty. So then I'm like, oh, it's not good for me. So it's like, how do I get past that? Is there, I don't know, how do we avoid that feeling of shame? And you know, obviously it's knowing the correct information about it, but also, like, you know, overcoming that stigma within our, that's so ingrained in the way we've been raised. It's so hard to shake it, even if you know everything. And also, I'm asking two questions here, but ways to use it correctly so that, you know, you don't have that hangover that's like causing that shame and that guilt afterwards.
Okay. So I think this is like a really important conversation that I really haven't been able to have with a lot of people. So I'm really grateful that we have this space to talk about this, because so much of people's experience with cannabis is directly tied to paranoia and fear. And isn't that fascinating how we've built up this stigma and we have all of this scary stuff, and then you have people experiencing paranoia? And it's because cannabis is very much like psychedelics. Your set, your setting, and your intention and your dose really, really do matter. And more than that, your strain and your delivery method. I think that delivery method is the key here. I also think that cannabis and the paranoia and finding, you know, right now it's 420 month at Kush Queen. We're celebrating with a campaign called Find Your Feeling. And I'm really passionate right now on helping people understand that you can find the desired outcome with cannabis if you just tool your ritual, if you just stay consistent with it and you get it the right dose in the right delivery method. I also am just kind of a huge proponent of not smoking. I smoke, sure, but I really don't believe that smoking is a superior delivery method. There's combustion there, you're inhaling it. I'm a firm believer that everyone, no matter if you use cannabis or not, should be using a daily oral delivery method of CBD, full spectrum CBD. So what that means is it has the full spectrum of the plant profile. It's not just pure CBD isolate. It's not just a couple molecules. It's the whole thing taken from the plant. And that's where I see so many people have improvements in their life when they're taking like a tincture morning and night. And I think that it can also change the effect of just smoking a joint, even, because ultimately THC levels in cannabis nowadays are fairly high. Some of the highest that you are going to see in history, you know, because it's becoming an industry. People are like chasing higher THC levels, but that doesn't necessarily always mean you're going to have the best experience. So a big thing that I recommend people do with trying to find their right feeling is journaling. I think it's important to keep track of the strain and the time that you administer it, but also the delivery method. So tinctures, gummies, bath bombs, shower gels. Your skin is your biggest organ. And so you can actually absorb the cannabinoids through the skin with transdermal products. And that is so powerful because our skin and our body is full of the receptors which interact with the endocannabinoid system, the CB1 and CB2 receptors. And that's actually how we're getting high and we're feeling better. So I think that ultimately, the only way to destigmatize something for yourself is education, is science, is practice. You know, it's still a practice for me, even now, pursuing, you know, the knowledge, fully understanding, and also retooling. Our bodies are always changing because of our environment. We are literally changing all different times because of our environment. My stress is super high right now. I'm upping my dose of CBD by 50 milligrams a day right now in order to combat all of the stress I'm putting my body under. And so it's really just about learning how to listen to your body. And ultimately, I don't think all cannabis is for everyone. But this plant, you see, it has over 400 molecules that we have identified from it. So you have THC, but within the class of THC, you have Delta 8 THC, Delta 9 THC, Delta 10 THC. I find Delta 8 THC to be better for people who have extreme paranoia. It's best, it's almost like a THC light, if you will. And then you have your, obviously, CBD went mainstream and people are like, oh, put CBD in everything. I don't think CBD belongs in a cheeseburger. I don't think CBD belongs in workout pants. I don't think it belongs in your eyelashes. It's crazy.
I literally saw a pillowcase with CBD and I was like, excuse me. I think people are just hopping on the CBD trend, and they're also using CBD that's not full spectrum, so it doesn't do shit.
It can't get inside your body by sleeping on it. It's deranged what these people have done. It. They've bastardized this very good plant. But then you have, like, on our website specifically, we have a product called, it's called Bear Plus THCV. THCV is a non-psychoactive molecule, so you don't get high from it, but it is the appetite suppressant, not stimulant. And it's more of a nature's Adderall, if you will. It gives you focus.
I need this.
It gives you clarity. There's CBN for sleep. You're talking about a completely different molecule. You're talking CBG, which is the precursor to CBD. They call it the bliss molecule because it helps people with depression, anxiety, stress. It's very uplifting. So ultimately, like, what I recommend for people is not just smoking a joint at night. It's finding a routine. It's finding a way that you're giving your body cannabinoids all throughout the day, especially because I'm diagnosed bipolar. It's really important that I consume cannabinoids throughout my day. So I like to start with a tincture in the morning. I take about, 15 to 20 milligrams. Mid-morning, I like to have something. Obviously, you need to monitor your caffeine use as well. Like, if I'm going to have a coffee or a cappuccino mid-morning, I'm not going to pair it with THCV, so I'm not manic. I like to, I think a lot of it is that. I think that we do not have a conversation in our culture around wellness in how to apply it. We have wellness brands selling products. We have health coaches coaching people on their health. But there is this huge gap right now in how you apply all of this to your life. And a lot of it is trial and error. And a lot of it is learning how to listen to your body, which traditional pharmaceuticals don't teach us. And most people in Western medicine don't know how to do. It's wild to tell a person, well, what did your body tell you? And they're like, well, I don't know. I felt like crap. And I'm like, no. Are you listening to your body? Because our bodies are talking to us. And what is so interesting about the endocannabinoid system and what we're learning about it, blows my mind. It is unique. It is as unique as your fingerprint. Okay. So your endocannabinoid system and my endocannabinoid system are not the same. I could take something that could work for me in one way, and it can totally work the opposite for you. And I find a lot of people have just reverse reactions. Of course, we're working on science. We're working on different ways to actually understand this, but a lot of it is your genetics. A lot of it is your DNA. A lot of it is your environment. And then what I find to be so fascinating about your body is that not only is your endocannabinoid system unique, but your body is producing natural endogenous cannabinoids. So they're in breast milk. They're inside of our bodies as well. So some people could be use it, have more naturally in there. They may not need as much cannabis. They could actually be overloading the ECS because that's also a reality. So we have a lot of science to do. Truly, they just lifted the ban on most research in the last few years. Even then, you can't really do traditional research yet on the cannabis products you get in the dispensaries. So it's going to happen. We're going to get there. The technology will catch up, of course, because capitalism's in charge now and things are being driven forward. But ultimately, you've got to stay committed to, first and foremost, quality products. Not all cannabis products are made equal. That's a huge thing I try to tell people. From understanding the extract, understanding the strain, it is something to journal. It is something to stay consistent on. And I tell people, adjust every 30 to 90 days. I adjust with the seasons. My spring and summer routine is not the same as my fall routine, especially when that time changes. Holy crap, my mental health just like goes into the toilet. And I really need a lot of extra cannabinoids. And then ultimately, the way we share knowledge about cannabis is really the same way I think a lot of people have been sharing knowledge about psychedelics over the years, which is just like person to person. And I really think that that's a huge thing is people really trying to talk more about their routines. I find it interesting how many people are influencers in cannabis and they promote products and brands, but they never really share their routine. They never really share their delivery systems and their delivery methods and their how much they're actually using in a single day. I love to do diaries on the Kush Queen blog. Like I have one when I went to New York Fashion Week and I talk about like all the different products I'm using during that time. And I think that those types of things can be really beneficial for people. But ultimately, even though it feels like cannabis has been around forever, it's still super young. And I think a lot of people are still early on in their journey. And for me, it's just been a lot of trial and error. That's how I've gotten here. But I really am going to be anxious to see over the course of the next few months if you can find, you know, a new routine for you. Because I think you're smoking too late.
Yeah.
And I think that you're, you might want to switch to gummies, and then take a tincture morning and night. And I would be really interested to see if your sleep changes a bit.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I hope everyone has a notepad out and is taking notes, because that was a lot of like amazing information that I didn't even know. I feel like I know a little bit about cannabis, but I'm not like, well, I need to read your book. And like, I started it, but I need to like really get in there and take notes on it, because all of that was so helpful. Like, I knew that there were different strains, and I knew about CBD and I knew about CBN, but I didn't know about all the other ones that you listed. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool that, you know, there's so many different molecules, like you said, within just THC and cannabis. And I think a lot of people just think of cannabis, weed, and they think of the stuff that gets you high. They have no idea about all these other things that you can get from cannabis, like things that aren't psychoactive. Because sometimes I feel like the psychoactive, taking too much of the psychoactive stuff can, you know, make you feel a little crazy and paranoid because, you know, you're doing it too much.
This is so important, especially for people who struggle with mental health. The word psychoactive is the same as psychosis. Okay. And so I think it's really important also that, especially with mental health, and you'll see it a lot in the book as I guide you through the different applications, your ratio of CBD to THC, the way that you're approaching it with a dose is extremely important. And I know I'm going to sound like a buzzkill because I am the biggest stoner, but less is more. I think that a significant amount of people out there are using too much THC and they're not actually having enough of the whole plant profile. And then they're not actually understanding that, okay, if you have pain, if you have chronic pain, if you have your period, if you are hurting, you need THC. THC is the only thing that is going to work on the pain, okay? But if you have mental health issues, if you're depressed, actually more THC, higher THC, mostly keeps people depressed for longer. Interestingly enough, with sleep, the longer you use cannabis, they say the less deep sleep you actually achieve. And I think that the cannabis industry itself, they don't like to talk about these things because I think a significant amount of people don't know. And then they think that it's harmful to people using cannabis. And it's like, no, it's about helping people. It doesn't matter to me if a consumer wants to use a product one time a month or 50 times a month. I don't care. If it's right for you, it's right for you. And I think that that's what everyone's missing, is that there is a general direction of where you're going to for different things, especially for beauty, for skin, you know, eczema, psoriasis, these skin conditions that they don't really give people a lot of solutions for. Cannabis works on them, especially with CBD. What CBD is, it's an anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial. So if you have a pimple, like I have a little guy here, I've been using my CBD serum on it. And people say, well, why would you put a CBD serum on your face? Well, actually, the root of a pimple is inflammation, honey, okay?
Yes.
And if we're going to put an anti-inflammatory on it, and some, it's going to actually, it shortens the life of the pimple 100%. And you're talking to a person who took Accutane. I don't know if you know what that death drug is, but I took it twice.
And oh, my God.
So I think that there's just so many different applications. And I think that it's also just about finding that knowledge for you and then really finding your way to coach yourself through it. I mean, I literally spend way too much time in my DMs trying to coach people with cannabis, trying to help them get there. It's my dream one day to have like a live consultant bud tender on our site all the time to help people navigate the products, because this is also it. It's like, What is a dispensary? What is a whole world of cannabis products if people don't understand how to use them and can't achieve something out of it? That's been a big thing for me as an entrepreneur. I'm like, we've got to help people, not just sell them shit, you know?
It's either like there's two extremes. It's either don't use cannabis, it's bad for you, or here, here's all the cannabis, it's good for you. And whenever I walk into a dispensary, I get so overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my God, all the products, which one's the best? I don't know, I'm gonna fuck up if I get the wrong one. And I ask the questions and no one gives me the good answers. They're just pushing products. And I'm like, I feel like there's no good information out there about like education around cannabis. And I'm so glad you're doing this. Oh my God, the book. Let's see.
This is my favorite chapter because when they asked me to write the book, they sent me this outline and then I looked at it and I was like, they want me to teach people how to buy weed in a dispensary. They want me literally to tell a person your first trip to the dispensary, what's it going to look like? How can you navigate it? What do you do when you purchase? Do you tip your bud tender? How do you not get overwhelmed in a store of literally 200 products? I was really excited about that chapter because to me, legal weed is overwhelming. And I've been in this industry for over 16 years. So why would a young person, and of course, you know, and the fastest growing demographic of cannabis consumer is a Gen Z and young millennial woman. That's who is going to the dispensaries to buy products. And not only are there no products made for them, well, very few, they're completely overwhelmed by the experience and they have no idea how to navigate it. And that's why I was like, do I have time to write a book? No. Will I? Absolutely. Because it's these little things like this. And I tried to make it as easy, quick, digestible. I know people don't have a lot of time. I get it. But you can, it's very organized too. You can sort of flip through what you need. And it's a really good place to start. And then even people who've used cannabis for a long time, they don't know this stuff, you know? And it's kind of like, it's the drum I'm always beating, but it's really important because knowledge is everything when you're approaching plant medicine. You know this.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, I feel like I went so long without knowing anything about it. And literally, I talk about this in my book, You Are the Medicine. And I went through a phase like after coming home from Nicaragua and doing the strongest psychedelic in the world and not having the right integration tools for one of the strongest psychedelic in the world is really damaging. And so when I came home, I like was running 50 miles an hour, just started my podcast, was doing all of these different things. And I was smoking weed like multiple times a week, high THC levels to get me in that creative state so that I could do my podcast, which, you know, I don't like to regret anything. But I will say it did help me open up that pathway to be able to practice being, you know, my highest self on my podcast, to be able to practice that new version of myself, which is the way I look at weed. I look at weed as like, I say weed, it's so general, but, you know, cannabis as a way to practice being my authentic self when I feel uncomfortable in a situation. That's how I use it. But anyways, after like a couple weeks, I got completely burnt out and I literally, like you said, psychoactive, psychosis, I felt like I was psychotic and I started questioning like, oh my God, am I mentally ill? Am I schizophrenic? Do I have psychosis? Because I was doing it wrong and I just kept smoking way too high levels of THC, sativa. I realized that sativa is probably not the best for me because I'm already hyperactive as it is and have way too many thoughts and way too many things going on in my life to be using sativa. So like I just didn't know the right things and it was damaging to me because there's no information and even Googling, it's so overwhelming to be like, I will try to Google for hours, like what strain is right for me? And there's just, everyone's just pushing their products. Like every single PR out there, all the articles, PR is all fake. You pay for it. There's no, like the cannabis products that are on those articles are paying for that. So I'm like, where do I get real information? And besides Reddit, which you still like can't trust. So I'm so happy and thankful that like there's people like you out there. Like honestly, you're the only person I know that's doing something like this that's actually honest about cannabis. Like you said, a lot of people don't want to talk about the negative side effects because they're afraid it's a bad rep for cannabis. But you have to be honest when talking about this because it's either like people, it's just this so pendulum swinging of either super loving it and only talking about the positives or only talking about the negatives. And either side will cling to both. But if you really want to push it forward and make it accessible to people, you have to talk about everything because people will start to have these questions. And then they'll swing from loving weed to hating weed because there's no nuance, there's no middle ground. And I love that you're talking about this.
Also, not everything is for everyone. Nobody is the same. We are all unique. We are all going to have different experiences, especially with a plant. That this is also why you're feeling the way you're feeling. What it does when you get high is it heightens all of your senses. your taste, your smell, the way you see the world, your consciousness is literally like, you're open, like you said, you can be very open up, and it can be very, very spiritual if you allow it to be. If you don't want it to be, it doesn't have to be. But if you're really going in a certain way, it can become this other experience for you. And I just think that ultimately, this was also a sacred medicine in a lot of indigenous cultures and communities, and that ritual has been lost. I think that also we don't have like elders in our culture, so we don't have this information passed down. I am very lucky that in my cannabis career, I have been surrounded by women. I have been surrounded by OGs, men and women, and they have not only mentored me, they've guided the way that I approach the plant. They have given me a huge boost in my career. And more than that, because of the kind of person I am a stone cold realist. I don't want something if it's a lie. I don't want to sell somebody something if it's a lie. I only want that raw truth. And in my life, I've had moments where I've overused cannabis. I've had moments where, you know, I have people in my family, they have mental health conditions, and I don't support them using cannabis. And I think that that's, a lot of people are like, that's crazy. What? You're a weed entrepreneur. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You know, I want people to live healthy, fulfilled lives. I believe in preventative plant medicine. I believe cannabis is one of them. I'm not going to make medical claims about my products because it's you're not supposed to do it. You can get in trouble with the FDA. I just don't understand, other than capitalism, why people are so committed to defending their beliefs about the plant, because it's a female plant that actually produces all the cannabis we consume. You know, I think it's about embodying that feminine energy as well and protecting it. And there's, at a certain point, people will say like, oh, well, you know, when you're saying this, it's not good for cannabis. And it's like, how do you know? You're just talking about the cannabis industry. And like you said, PR is fake and paid for. Also, those weed sites you're visiting, no offense to them, they are also owning cannabis brands. Most of them are literal corporations or private equity companies who own those sites to push their cannabis companies.
So annoying.
It's all a big conglomerate now, you know, owned by the same five people who are billionaires. And I think that's also it now. I have this part in the book, which is how to be a conscious cannabis consumer. You know, even though I'm an entrepreneur, I started the brand 6.5 years ago. I've done one round of angel investment. I have my angels. I've never done VC funding. I bootstrapped this thing. I consider it still a startup, even though it's not. And I'm trying so hard to remain independent, because it's the only way that you can maintain integrity right now in this space. And for me, all of that's been guided by plant medicine, by cannabis and psilocybin. I even also tell people, you know, in the book, which a lot of people are like, oh, shut up, Olivia, I don't believe in mixing cannabis and alcohol. There's a cannabis company called Can right now who's out there selling their 2 milligram beverages as mixers for alcohol. They have Kate Hudson, a literal celebrity, showing people in a video, in a commercial, how to mix these things. And you know what will happen if I do that? I will literally vomit and shit myself. I should have had a trigger warning for that. But I've literally done it before. And I'm like, this brand is telling people to mix their fucking product. It's horrible. What are you doing? And then it's I'm just like, that is so bad for people. And then you had like, you know, you have all the people doing all the gimmicky stuff where it's just like, you don't have ECS receptors there. And I'm like over here, like, I just wish people had logic. I just wish people wanted to protect people and the plant. I think there's a huge stigma still associated with CBD, and people say it doesn't work. And it's because most of them haven't had real CBD. They haven't had full spectrum CBD. They've had either CBD isolate or a product that was so incorrectly dosed, it didn't even have enough CBD in it like the label claims. Or it had hemp seed oil, because everyone was calling hemp seed oil CBD for the longest time. And hemp seed, a pressed seed, is not the same as an extracted plant. So, you know, it's just, it's crazy to me sometimes when I look at my business and I think, well, how did I get here? I can't believe I did this with no money. I can't believe I did this with no support, you know, in an industry where most companies literally lose $30 million a year. But then I'm like, well, I'm logical. Well, I approach my products from the science that exists. I use my products every day. If they don't work, I'm the first one to throw it out and say, we're not going to sell that. There's like a molecule right now, THCO. Everyone's talking about it. The strongest cannabinoid in the world. It's a scam. It doesn't work.
Oh
I
my
bought it. I
God.
tried it. I take it. It doesn't. And I'm just like, you guys, we have so much more to prove. You know, they put people in jail for this plant. There were people who were killed for this plant, and there are people who have been saved by it. Okay, there's children with autism, there are kids with seizure disorders, friends of mine whose lives have been saved by cannabis with Crohn's disease. You know, I have a quadriplegic in my family who they say, like, how is he still going? You know, and it's because of cannabis in some aspects. And even myself, you know, being able to run my company, being bipolar, literally against all odds, like, I'm an outlier. We shouldn't exist, but Kush Queen does exist. And I think it's in part because of that. I like to call it the plant magic. It's that magic that is inside the plant. And then when you use it the right way and you stay so aligned to the truth, it's inside of you too. And for me, that's like what drives me to keep going, because with the capitalism part sucking the industry dry, like literally taking everything they can from the plant, it makes me sad. It makes me sad sometimes. And then I'm like, why am I doing this? But then I remember, this is why.
Yeah, that's why there's so much, you know, people who are on the other side of not the corporate side of this kind of stuff, even with psychedelics. Like, there's a lot of discourse around whether legalizing these things are actually a good thing because humans can't have good things. We fucking ruin it. Like, capitalism, corporations ruin it. And it's like you said that, you know, I don't like to be super binary with this, but like masculine, feminine energy, when you look at it, what that means is like the feminine energy, like staying true to the plan and staying true to the intentions versus like automatically thinking, oh, how can I make the most money out of this? And I think that's where like brands are just getting it wrong. Like, and it's hard to work in an industry where, you know, you're surrounded by everyone who's hustling and working and trying to like, you know, get the most money out of it. And the way that the system is made, it's hard not to fall into that trap of, you know, making things for profit, because it's fucking hard. People gotta make money. People gotta survive. And it's so difficult out there. And I think it's just so impressive that you've been able to stay true to the intentions and been able to, you know, stay true to the original intention of the plant. And it's funny because my friend, she told me that she was out in Mount Shasta and she met a shaman up there, and he said they don't allow you to take cannabis on their property. It was like a ritual because cannabis, now he says that the energy of it, because everyone's misusing it and putting negative energy into it with the corporations, the energy of the plant has been tarnished. But me and my friend, like, we believe part of that, but also like you can bring back the original intention through your intentional usage. I don't truly believe that the energy of the entire plant is fucked, but I believe we do have a lot of work to get back to keeping it sacred rather than just fucking misusing it.
This is so cool to me that the conversation has gone here, because I was at this meeting with these incredible women, the Doctors Knox. They're multi-generational doctors who are now practicing cannabis medicine and specifically working with integrative medicine on the endocannabinoid system. And I was talking to Dr. Janice, and we were all just having this conversation. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, like, whether people are talking about it or not, there are billion-dollar corporations right now losing everything they have in this space, in cannabis. They cannot get anyone to buy their products. They're literally doing anything they can to sell their boof weed, and no one wants it. And I said, I believe because this plant is a part of nature, she'll correct. And she's
Yes.
anti-corporate because it's a plant. And
Yes.
that vibration, it doesn't work. That's what's so interesting. It's like, I try to tell people, I'm like, I swear to you, like, my vibration and my love for this plant is a part of the capital in which I have built my business. And it just, she's gonna correct. I really believe that. But I do think that shaman, there is something there. I think that the intention around your cannabis use. You know, it's very similar to psychedelics. I'm more into microdosing psilocybin and LSD, and I've shared a lot of that journey on my social media as well in the last few years. And I agree with you, like, people can have nice things. I get some DMs and messages and I'm terrified. The people trying to sell cannabis and psilocybin and stuff in my comments, they freak me out. I'm like, this is not the way. Like, you need a real healer.
The bots are so annoying.
I'm like, why are they allowing this? Like, they're basically censoring creators, but they can't censor these scammers. Like, it makes me so mad. But I did it. I spoke at this thing called the Psychedelics of Business, and mine was way more like about my narrative and my mental health journey. And I did say at the end of it, I was like, I know that all of these people want to make psychedelics into pharma drugs. I know that they want to take the psychedelic experience out of them. They'll even take the high out of cannabis if they could. But ultimately, like, the money and the growth and the companies and the public companies and the stocks and all this, it doesn't really matter. Because what I've found, especially being on TikTok and on social media and sharing my story, is like, right now we are in great despair. A bulk of people, you know, energetically, that's such a low vibration. And I just don't think there's a lot of time for people. And I think that you've just had so many pharmaceuticals pushed down people's throats for so long. I do hope that people just at least come to understand, like, cannabis can and will be a medicine for you if you let it, if you research it enough, if you try to pursue it enough for your body. Because ultimately, like, that's the most important thing, is people finding healing and people finding their happiness. Because I think that's what's rare nowadays. It's really sad how many people are, like, anxious and depressed and just, like, they're not feeling life anymore. And obviously we've been through a lot these past few years, but I think that this was happening before. And I think that cannabis can be a part of not only changing your own world, but really changing the fabric of our world. You know, there's still so many people put in jail for cannabis every day. And if we could just stop that, a huge ripple effect will happen. So it really is interesting to me where it's all gone. And I just really try to urge people, like, be conscious. Like, when you go to that dispensary, like, really research that brand, really look into who you're supporting, because it's kind of becoming the same thing as our personal care products. And we know how many toxins they're putting in our personal care products and in fragrances, and all these things are really harmful to the body. And it's just so interesting as humans, when we have this opportunity for something to be good or bad. It's the finest little line, and we just keep choosing the damn bad. What is the deal? You know? So it's deep, it's spiritual, it's scientific, it's weird, it's so many things. But I think that at the end of the day, knowledge is everything. You know, that's how you empower people, that's how you make people feel better, and that's where I approach it from, at least. That's, like, we gotta start with knowledge here. We gotta start with empowering people to know it. And then that's the other thing. I think I know this plant because I know it. I've touched it. I've felt it. I've grown it. I've extracted it. I've made products with it. I've been on the journey with the plant, and I think that so much of the fear, so much of the scariness is because people don't know it. And that's my biggest thing, especially with Kush Queen. These products invite you to know the plant in a very gentle, approachable way. And that's all by design, you know?
Yes, I love that. And I think, honestly, like, it really is. I think the way your perception of something changes the way it interacts. Like you said, setting and the product you're using, the strains, but also, like, your beliefs system around the plant and, you know, the entire stigmatization of it and what's been shoving down our throats for many, many, many years. Just thinking that and then going into it, it's not going to react well if you think it's not going to react well. And I think we have a lot of deconstructing to do around that. And like you said, it starts with education. So I want to ask a few more questions about, more specific questions about how to use cannabis. And these can be, like, quick, short answers if you want, or you can go into deep, whatever you want. So let's see. I have some friends that asked some questions. Actually, this one's my question. So how does smoking weed affect working out? Like, I've had some friends say that they like to smoke weed before working out, and I see some TikTokers talk about it and how it helps with this mind-body connection to help with, like, the muscular, I don't really know the right words for it, but this mind-body connection between you and your muscles and working out. I've always been curious to try it, but I'm, like I said, I get paranoid sometimes, and my setting really affects me, and I don't really like my gym as it is. It's a bunch of old creepy dudes, and if I'm in there working out, I'm going to be so paranoid. Is working out and smoking weed a good idea? And what would be the best strain to do that with? Like, would it be a psychoactive one or just like a CBD, whatever, CBN? What would be the best way to like go about working out and taking cannabis?
Okay, I'll try to make this as simple as I can, but it's kind of complicated, of course. Interestingly enough, we know about runner's high. So a few years back, they actually found the scientific data to prove that it is not runner's high. It's your endocannabinoid system producing cannabinoids in your body. Yes.
No way.
So that feeling and the reason people love to use cannabis with fitness is a couple reasons. Number one, recovery. It's proven that if you're using cannabis during the workout or after, you're going to have quicker recovery. You have that anti-inflammatory power that you're consuming, especially with high CBD strains. And so a lot of people recover faster. There's a huge argument, which we won't go into, about cannabis actually being a performance-enhancing drug. I believe that it is, especially if you're using it in the right way. So what I like to do before I work out is either a Delta 8 strain or a high CBD strain. These are not normally always found in dispensaries, but you can find them. Those strains are going to let you have a little bit more focus. I think the key is to avoid heavy indicas, anything like an OG Kush, anything that is, just remember this, indica in the couch, you will be down. That is not it. I think a hybrid strain would be great, a high CBD strain like ACDC, and then really lean on cannabis topicals after you work out. I have a product called Melt. It's a pain lotion. After I have like I am so sore right now. I'm like hitting it really hard because I'm trying to get in shape before I go to Turks and Caicos for my birthday. And I'm so sore from lifting weights. Like it hurts everywhere. I'm going to soak in a bath bomb tonight. I'm going to cover my legs in that Melt. And I'm telling you, tomorrow my soreness is going to be like way, way, way down. I think the key is just you don't want to be too much in your head. So just avoid those strains that you're going to use for like creativity as opposed to fitness. But it is absolutely, the numbers around how many people use cannabis before they work out is staggering. It's mind blowing. It blew my mind when I was writing the book because I have a fitness chapter and I was like, I thought some of the statistics, I was like reading them wrong. And they're like, no, those are, I think it's like 80% of cannabis users use cannabis before they work out.
Oh my God. Okay. Now I'm going to go do it and try it. Well, I'm moving this week, literally tomorrow. Oh my God. I'm moving this week up to LA. So I'll be not going to that gym that I don't like. I'll be going to a better gym and maybe like some outdoor gyms on the beach. So I'm going to try it like exactly like you said, Delta H or a high CBD, so that I'm not so in my head. And I think being outdoors would help. And I actually used the Melt lotion after Coachella. So everyone knows when you go to Coachella, you are dying. It's literally like I probably walked like 10 miles or more in that day. My feet were dead. My whole body was exhausted. My neck was hurting. And my friend who has a lot of like physical issues, he was hurting too. So I gave it to him. I put it on my neck. I put it on my feet. And the next day I felt amazing. And I just used the THC body wash today actually. And I'm like honestly feeling it. I wasn't expecting to feel that much, but I am feeling like my body feels a lot more relaxed. And I haven't had the chance to do the CBD bath bomb, but I will be, or the THC bath bomb. I don't remember which one, but I'll be doing that tonight because I'm still having like a festival like come down. After every festival, you're just like sad and tired, you know? So I'm like, I need to be using these products to like come back from the festival. But that's super cool. I didn't know that either. And the whole thing about the runner's high, like I had an experience that I wrote about in my book, like a hiker's high. I went on this meditation hike and I was super high in elevation, 10,000 feet high, hiking in this sacred land and like doing this like mantras and mudras, walking through the land. and did not smoke, did not take anything. And I literally felt like I was on shrooms because I was so like heaving. I was like, first of all, the breath going in and out. There must be something linked with the breath and activating the endocannabinoid system, because every time I'm like breath work, it does the same thing. There has to be a link there. I don't know if there's research, but it was like a breath work session, but walking through beautiful, gorgeous lands in Peru in the Andes Mountains. And I felt so high, but like controlled because it was my own body. And honestly, I just learned that there was an endocannabinoid system from this talk today. I didn't know that we had natural cannabinoid system in our body. That's so cool. But that leads me to my next question. Speaking of my festival come down after just going hard all weekend, what's the best way to like, you know, come back from a festival that's been like intense, you know, you just had so much fun and then you have those post-festival blues? What would you recommend for me right now? Because I am tired. My voice is gone. My brain is foggy. I am a little bit depressed after this call, though. I feel better, like just talking with someone. What would be a great festival come down routine?
So I would recommend having one gummy, the Delta 8 gummies I think I gave you. I would have one of those or a half of those. I would take a bath. I would do what you did, which is cover my body in the melt. And then I would just keep my CBD intake really high and rest. You know, I think ultimately cannabis can speed up your recovery. But the reason I made the bath bomb is really important, because there are so many scientific benefits to bathing in general. Your skin is your biggest organ and your body is tired, you know? And when you soak your body in cannabinoids, it's a full body topical. So basically you're going to soak and you're going to feel like you got a full body massage without getting one, without the price tag. And your body can actually absorb the cannabinoids through the skin. You're in warm water, so your pores are open, you're increasing your circulation, you're giving your heart a massage, and you're really going to reset your body. And then, you know, I really believe in fighting that inflammation from the inside out. I also think that really truly taking that time in the bath, it's very meditative for me. It's very deep and it really helps you go inside. And I think that is also can be really beneficial. It's kind of the same routine I do for a hangover. If you drink too much, I went to wine country recently and I was like, oh my God, my insides are wine. And I really just did a lot of baths, a lot of gummies and resting. And of course, really truly just connecting to self, you know, especially in the bath. I really try to encourage people, like, make it a ritual. Don't just take a bath. You know, if you have a mood light, like the starry lights, I love to bring that in the bathroom, play some music, set an intention for the bath. I think that can be huge. You can literally set the intention of like recovery or renewal. You know, all of the ingredients in the bath bombs are incredibly gentle. Even the color I use, it's very little color. It's not even the same pigments like a Lush uses that would stain your bathtub. So that would be my go-to, you know, but really you just need rest and you're overstimulated. So it makes sense. It's almost like if you didn't have a come down after Coachella, then I would be worried.
I know. Even if you are completely sober all weekend, you're still going to have a come down just because it's music. You're walking every day. It's just, you do more things in that one weekend than you probably do an entire month. I think I did more activity in that weekend than I did the entire COVID year. Like literally. But also, speaking of music, do you have a Kush Queen like get high playlist on Spotify or something?
We do have some. Yeah, we have a couple playlists on Spotify. I need to do more for people to really listen to. We've done a few things, and then I have a bunch of rituals on the blog and different sort of like intentional baths, ways that we show you can incorporate the products to really set intention. And then I have a couple on my social media of just people, me like literally inside my own bathroom sharing it with people, because for me, my bathroom is a sanctuary. It's a church. It's the church of me. And I think that it's really important that people return to self-care. I think self-care has become this commodity where people are like yelling self-care at people who need like serious mental health care and support. But for me, especially with my bipolar disorder, you know, I just needed some serious tools to ground. And then space to understand how to really take care of my body, listen to my body, listen to my inner child. And I think for me, the bathroom has sort of been that place. And so I really try to encourage a lot of people to take a bath because people have weird things around bath taking. And I'm like, I'm telling you, just Google bath benefits. It's science. It's really good for you. They think it's sitting in your own filth. Clean the tub, you know, don't worry about soaking in your own filth. Take a damn shower. You know, some people baths just aren't for them. And I have to respect that. That's why we have a shower gel, but it's really something that I hope people return to because it's so good for you. I know you're going to love it. You will. You're going to love it.
What's your sign? What's your sun sign?
Oh my God. I'm a mess. My chart. I'm a Taurus, Gemini, Scorpio.
I knew you were Taurus. I'm a Taurus too. We love our baths. We love our self-care. We're self-care queens. This is why you're the Kush queen. I was literally like, I should have just guessed. I should have guessed. But I am obsessed with self-care. I love like smoking weed or taking a gummy, taking a bath, soaking in it. And I literally do a full ritual and it's like literally more blissful than any other like plant medicine experience I've had. Cause it's just like that feeling of just like being with yourself and truly self-care is really just self-love, learning how to love yourself. And self-love is really just learning how to be with yourself. So many people are afraid to be with their thoughts. They're afraid to be with themselves. But when you learn to love your own company and you learn to love yourself, I think of self-care, self-love as like the way that you would love like a romantic partner or the way that you would love a child. Like you need to love yourself like that. You need to think that you're actually doing this because you care about yourself, not just as a way, you know, all these people pushing their self-care products and it's become super annoying on TikTok and, you know, that girl trend where everyone's like, you can't live like that all the time. They're glamorizing it without the other things that you need to talk about. Like it's not just baths, but it is baths at the same time, because if you do it intentionally and the right way, you unlock this new level of self-care and self-love that is just honestly helps on so many other levels of self-confidence. It's helped me with my periods, actually, of being intentional. Like I do this on my periods. I do a bath, I smoke weed, and I place my hands over my womb and I ask her, like I literally ask her, what do you need? Why are you in so much pain? What is going on? There's like an energetic reason. And I actually got an answer at the last period. It sounds fucking crazy. I thought it was crazy too when someone told me to meditate and ask your womb a question. I was like, you're fucking crazy, but I'll do it. And I tried it. And it literally was like, Kendall, you're in a place where you have to shrink yourself. You're in a place where you don't feel comfortable being yourself. So of course, my womb and my period is going to be mad at me because she can't be herself. The next day I decided to look for an apartment and move out of my hometown because I don't feel like I can be myself here. Not that there's anything wrong. I love being here with my family, but it's just true when you're living in a place where, you know, you were conditioned for so long to be a certain way, you revert back to that old self. And so I was reverting back to my old self for so long and, you know, getting high during my period. I love it because it allows me to connect with the pain instead of avoid it. And it's not as painful. It's like, we'll have to get into this too, of like, cannabis for periods, but it has really changed the way my relationship with my period. So I used to hate it. And now it's, you know, it's still not the most comfortable thing. I don't love it, but I don't hate it anymore. And I have a better relationship with it because I can connect with it and understand it more. And because I got those answers, and literally the period after wasn't painful. Like I didn't have cramps.
I think that's like incredibly, incredibly interesting because I, on my own journey, have been doing so much work, you know, on my mind, on my habits. And then I had this big epiphany where I was like, oh, I'm carrying a lot of this stuff in my body. I'm carrying these habits in my body. Also, if you're a person maybe who has had a lot of experience with chaos or stress, you're body's kind of programmed for it. And I think a lot of like deprogramming and integration and a lot of stuff is being held in the body and we don't even know it. And for me, like on my journey personally, like I got this together and then I had all of these blockages in my body and I had to really work through them. And I wasn't really fully understanding that the physical matter takes more time to catch up to the spiritual realms. And it didn't matter how far I was in my journey, my body was bringing me back to this place. And it's been really interesting, you know, sort of integrating that and working through that. But I really believe there's not enough conversation of like beyond the mind-body connection, but really truly connecting to your body, loving your vessel. I've had people write me like messages that have literally brought me to tears saying they like get in the bath and they like hold themselves and they thank their body and they find like a lot of deep connection. There are these nuns who were going into MedMen and they were buying out every bath bomb that they had. And then what? One day, finally, the budtender was like, what are you guys doing with these bath bombs? And they're like, well, when we take the bath, we talk to God in the bath with our bath
chills.
Bombs. I know. And it's like a true story. And then I have just so many people who tell me they have these deep, you know, experiences. And I think that's really powerful. But I think that yeah, we talk about the mind-body connection, but what is that? How are you practicing that? How are you loving yourself? And it's a really interesting way. And I think it's like funny because like Lush and like sort of these more like fun bath bombs have sort of in some ways like they've brought me where I am. Like I wouldn't be here if Lush didn't create the damn bath bomb. That's for sure. Because the bath bomb was my first product that exploded my business. It's the thing we make and sell the most of. And ultimately, I think though, like the way people think of a bath bomb, it's sort of, I don't want to say it like bastardizes what we do, but I like to tell people like, these are bath bombs with benefits. These are deeper baths. This is a different experience than you've had. And I hope and always invite people like, go there, you know, like in our marketing, especially like over the past 6-8 months a year, I've really tried to invite people to go deeper into the journey. You know, I was one of those people in my 20s, especially I was like sort of doing the surface level, like spiritual work. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I realized like, oh, this is artificial. You know, I could do hot yoga every day for a year, but it didn't mean I was doing any work on myself. And yeah. I really want to inspire people, especially in the future of Kush Queen with everything that we're doing, to take it a step further, do the real work and really sort of peek on the other side and really like let it be more than a product. You know, it's more than a product for me, but it's really about having our community and the people that touch the products understand like you can go there with these if you really want to. So I'm excited for you to try it.
Yes. I never really did bath bombs before because I just hated every time I walk into Lush, I hate it. Like it smells so bad. I mean, it's just overwhelming for me. I haven't tried a Lush product, so I can't give a review, but like walking by it, there's one in my near my mall, and I would walk by and I'm like choking because I'm so sensitive to smell and sensitive to every single type of ingredient. Like I don't like artificial colors or flavorings. Like just, I'm so sensitive. And so smelling that, and I don't even use like I don't use like candles anymore that are like made from wax because I don't even like using perfume because I can tell that it's an artificial smell and I would rather use things that are natural. So I'm really excited to use a bath bomb tonight and do an entire ritual. And I feel like there's so many more questions I want to ask you, but we'll have to like do another episode. I'll have you come over and we'll get high and do an episode. It'll be fun.
Yes, we'll smoke.
But speaking of your products, what are some of your favorite products to use from Kush Queen?
So I think my favorite product is obviously the bath bomb, but I really love the lube. It is a transdermal lube. I tell people, you know, the way that your eyes get red when you puff on a joint, that's because cannabis is a vasodilator. It's increasing blood flow to the area. So the lube will actually increase the blood flow to the area that you put it on. It's a really inclusive product. It's latex safe. A lot of cannabis lubes are not latex safe. We want to promote safe sex, but you could use it for yourself. I even met a woman who was buying all of this lube and we said, well, what are you doing with it? And she said, you know, I just put it on like a perfume and it just stimulates my big purr energy. And I walk into board meetings and I command the room and my secret is your lube. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's
what?
Wild.
So I love
the lube and our gummies. You know, the gummies are vegan. Our whole line is vegan. It's super important to me that people know that. And that gummy formula, my family, my mom, my partner, myself, we had a hard time with it. Making vegan gummies is not easy, especially making them dose accurately with cannabis. So we've had a journey with those products and people love them. And that those are probably my favorites outside of the THCV, because as a real stoner, I've had issues with the munchies, haven't we all? And being able to prove to people that, cannabis isn't one size fits all, that you can suppress the appetite and stimulate the mood in a natural way was really exciting for me. And also, not to be this person, but it's 420. Everything at Kush Queen is 50% off. We
Yes.
are we blow it out. So if you want to try it, today really is the day, because we're basically giving the store away. And so I just wanted to tell everyone, like, today's the day to take advantage of the deals, deals, deals.
Yes, that's amazing. And also, if you're listening to this after 420, or if you didn't get a chance to buy on 420 because maybe you smoke too much and you don't want to, buy anything right now, then you can use the code Kendall20 for 20% off of all Kush Queen products. Super excited about that. Like, look at all of these amazing products that Olivia gave me if you're watching the video on Spotify right now. But we have all of these fun gummies, the bath bombs, and I'm excited to use one of these. I have the Relieve for bat for pain, the Relax for mood bath bomb. We have the Shield for immunity. So I think I should probably use the pain one tonight for my back and body, because I'm like literally so sore from Coachella. Oh, and we also have a sleep bath bomb. Can you combine the bath bombs, or is that too much?
You can, but I don't recommend it unless you're gonna look at the essential oils and make sure that the essential oils pair. So, like, sleep and relax will pair, or black magic, because those are lavender essential oils. But relieve, I would say just leave it alone.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I'll use the sleep another night. But yeah, then we have the cannabinoid again. My not being able to read right now. This weekend is hitting me clearly. The cannabinoid gummies. So these are the Delta 8 gummies, correct?
Those are CBG. They're a special blend. They're sort of my day vibe, but essentially they'll give you like a really good, the CBG is more of an upper, so it's like the bliss molecule. So it's going to take you up, as opposed to the other ones, which are just more like straight Delta 8, going to get you a little stony or elevated, as we like to say.
So, for people that have really bad period cramps, because every woman has horrible period cramps, I feel like just our society and the way that we've been programmed to believe that our periods are going to be horrible, that we're going to have cramps, and because of all the toxins in our bodies and systems and air and food and everything, we have bad period cramps. There's so many factors. What do you use to mitigate the period cramps? You said THC is for pain. So, what would be the best formulation and routine for dealing with period cramps on like your heaviest day?
Your heaviest day, I would wake up, I would hit a tincture anywhere between 500 milligrams and 2500 milligrams, the whole bottle. So you're getting a solid dose. I would probably have a gummy in the afternoon and put Melt like on my stomach, on my abdomen. And then I would soak in the Relieve 1-to-1. You just, if especially if you can have THC, if you're not drug tested for your job, you should be having that for your period. That's going to really, really help. And then really consider integrating CBG for the mood. Mood is a huge element of why I feel like I feel so bad with my period. Mine is less physical pain and more my brain just being so, I hate to admit this, but weak. Like, I feel weak in the mind. And I find that CBG really, really helps me that week, especially. It's a secret of mine, but I up my dose about 10 days before my cycle comes. And I think that it can help. I know that a lot of doctors prescribe people like antidepressants right before who have really bad PMDD, but I really think upping the dose, 7 to 10 days before you're going to get your cycle, and then hitting it hard with THC the first 3 days. But I'm telling you, like, the longer you intentionally use THC, the less painful your period becomes. I know we are going to have major breakthroughs in women's health in the next 20 years because of cannabis. And I have seen so many people with endometriosis, fibromyalgia, and just painful periods be transformed by cannabis. So I think it's really listen to your body, and avoid caffeine too. Like, I really believe in adding caffeine into the mix while you're on your cycle is going to make it the pain worse. And so, yeah, that'd be what I'd recommend for the periods.
And when you say THC, is that because you mentioned there was a non-psychoactive version of THC? Like for someone who maybe doesn't want to be high, is there a way to do it without getting high?
Yes, absolutely. So you're not going to get high from my bath bombs. You're not going to get high from rubbing a lotion on. And the other thing to do to mitigate the high, you can use Delta-8 THC, is topicals, and then high CBD. So if you pair THC with CBD, it's really, it can actually like balance it out. So if you go more CBD, but just a little THC, you're going to be able to address the pain without feeling completely stoned. And I think that that is really beneficial when it comes to people who don't necessarily want to get high. But the one thing about my bath bombs is you will not get high from them. You cannot get high from them. You're going to feel an effect. You're going to feel better, but you're never going to get high from them. I think that's also why we've had so much success with them. So just remember, if you want to address pain but don't want to get high, high CBD or full spectrum CBD with like a microdose of THC is going to do it. It activates the receptors. And they all the molecules work better together. They sort of play off of each other and they're more effective together. The other thing is pairing with essential oils. All of our bath bombs are classified by effect, and we don't use fragrance, we use essential oil. This is the entourage effect. When you actually combine plants, get this, with other plants, they all work better together. So really,
wow, who would have known?
Shocking. It's mind-blowing. So when you compare like the Relieve bath bomb, those are tried and true herbal blends. You know, these are not, I mean, they are our proprietary blends, but you just can find an aromatherapy book and talk to an herbalist. And these are the essential oils they tell you to go. I address this in the book. If you do get too high, there are things you can do with black pepper, lemon, and then there's also this huge side of cannabis, which we didn't really get into, but we're kind of touching on it, which is terpenes. And the terpenes and the flavonoids and the scents. Scent is a very powerful thing to us as humans. It can really uplift your mood. That's why aromatherapy works. And so really check out that section of the book and really start to look at products more from, okay, well, what terpenes are these? What effects could I possibly have from these essential oils or from these other ingredients like black pepper? And that's also a way people can achieve results without getting high.
That's really interesting. Speaking of your book, though, I'm so excited to read it, and I'm so excited for my listeners to read it. Can you go over like a little bit of the, I guess, of the table of contents? Like, what do you talk about in the book, and then where can people find the book?
So the book is basically three major parts. First, you're going to get the intro to cannabis. What is it? The ECS, the history, famous women who use cannabis over thousands of years. And we're really going to break it down. We're going to teach you how to approach a dispensary, what to expect. And then we break it down for the application. So mental health, beauty, sleep, sex, fitness. And then at the back of the book, I have a special little section of about 10 different recipes. If you are so inclined to DIY it and make some of your own products, cannabis in California is taxed at about a 40% tax rate. It's very impossible for some people to afford. So I wanted to actually take my background in making products with Kush Queen and show people how they can actually make their own butter, make their own tinctures, make their own bath bombs. And it's a fun little DIY for you. So the book really breaks it down, easy digestible guide. And of course, it's on Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, on the Kush Queen site, and everywhere books are sold.
Amazing. Yes. And that is The Essential Guide to Cannabis for Women by Olivia Alexander, everyone. I am so excited to read it. And you literally cover every topic. And it's so cool that you have a little DIY project. Like, I'm just imagining having a slumber party with my friends and like making some like products from the book and like looking at the recipe. Like, I'm just super excited for it. I think we covered everything. I mean, there's so much more I want to get into. So like I said, we'll do another podcast episode soon because I just have so many questions. But I think we covered a lot of ground today. Like, I learned so much just from today's episode, and I'm so happy that we've met and that we were able to, you know, talk about this. And I can't wait, you know, to talk more about it in the future. Just like you said, you had mentors for, you know, people for cannabis for you. Like, I feel like you're a mentor for me in a way, because like you've already taught me so much and have inspired me so much just by your presence online and the way that you talk about things and the way that you encourage women. Like, you've been such an inspiration to me and my journey, and that's why I reached out to you. And I'm just so happy to finally, you know, connect and share your amazing wisdom and knowledge with other people who are listening right now. So I just want to say thank you so much for being you. Thank you for being on here and sharing your wisdom with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. That really means a lot to me. And you better watch it, because it's going to be a quid pro quo here. You can hit me up for cannabis advice, and I'm going to hit you up for social media advice. And yeah, I hope we can have a sesh and maybe talk more about cannabis and really keep it going. But thank you so much for having me, and happy 420.
Yes, happy 420, everyone, and check out her products. And where can people find you and Kush Queen online?
Kushqueen.shop, where you can get all of our products. We ship nationwide. So Kushqueen.shop, and I'm at The Liv Alexander on TikTok and on Instagram and on all the social medias. We're Kush Queen Shop.
Awesome. I'll link everything below so you guys can know where to find her. And all of the promo videos will be on my Instagram. So if you want to quickly tap from there, that works too. Thank you so much for coming on. Can't wait to talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Before I sign off for this episode, I wanted to take a little chance to talk a little more about my book. My book, You Are the Medicine, is out for pre-sale now. The pre-sale only lasts until May 1st, so I would love if you could all support me. With the book pre-sale, you don't only get a signed copy of my book, or an ebook if you chose that option, but you also get a ticket to my book launch event, which will be around August or September when the book is officially out. And in this event, there's going to be a lot of fun spiritual activities, a lot of the activities that I did in my book, like ecstatic dance, maybe cacao ceremony or breath work or yoga, meditation for sure, and a book chat with me. But a little bit more about my book, if you haven't heard about it yet, it follows me on my journey traveling solo to Peru, where I experienced some of the most insane spiritual experiences of my life, got the most insane spiritual downloads of my life, and learned some of the most incredible lessons of my life so far. I kind of like to call it like the Eat, Pray, Love, but for Gen Z. It's called a creative nonfiction, so it's not a self-help book, but it's not exactly a fiction story. It's based on my life, and everything that happens in the book actually happened in my real life. None of it's fake. It's all real. I documented everything on my trip, so I was able to pull from my journal entries, my voice memos, my videos I recorded, and turn it into a book that follows me on this incredible adventure story. And while I was living in Peru, going on some of the most insane hikes in the Andes Mountains, doing ecstatic dance and meeting my highest self, trying some of the strongest psychedelics in the world, and shedding limiting beliefs, facing my fears, facing my inner demons, facing my self-sabotaging beliefs, and really just doing the inner work, literally having years of therapy in one sitting and coming out the other side feeling completely reborn and stepped into my highest, most authentic self, to living in a circus and meeting my spirit guides through energy work, meeting some of the most incredible people that are honestly, I would call my soul group, my soulmates and soul friends. I just had the most amazing time on this journey. And the entire time I kept thinking, oh my God, this could be a movie. This could be a book. And so now I'm super happy that I've been able to turn it into a book. I worked so hard last year to write over 6 months this entire book. And now I'm in the editing and publishing phase and currently in the marketing phase. You know, it's hard these days for independent creators and artists to make a living off of their art. And I've decided to take the hybrid publishing route. So it's not working with a giant publisher that buys you out and owns the rights to all your books. And it's not necessarily the self-publishing route where I'm, you know, completely on my own. Rather, I've teamed up with my publisher, New Degree Press, to, you know, give me the resources. So I have weekly lectures for helping me to launch this book. And then I also get editors to help me edit the entire book and make it publishing ready. So they helped me with this entire process, but because of that, I'm doing an Indiegogo pre-sale campaign to help pay for the cost of the entire publishing journey. So all the money that I gain through the Indiegogo campaign goes straight towards my publishing team to help me edit and finish and publish this book. So I'd really appreciate any support that you can give, whether it's buying an ebook, whether it's buying a book, Or you can also buy a coaching session with me or a business consulting call with me. Or even if you can't support monetarily, I would really, really appreciate if you could share this with some of your friends, share it on your social media, you know, connect me with the right people who I might be able to have on my podcast, or by connecting me with people who you think could help me on this journey. That would be so, so greatly appreciated. And if you want a book but you can't afford it right now, I'm also doing a referral program where I'm giving the top three referrers a free book. All you have to do is go to my Indiegogo campaign page, which is linked below, and you'll click the link at the top to create your own unique link, which will track all the purchases you've been able to get by sharing that link. So there's more information about how to exactly do this on the page, so make sure you check that out below. Also, this is the first I'm speaking about this on my podcast, but I'm going to be doing a retreat in Peru later this year after the book launch that follows my exact journey in Peru. So if you want to come with me to Peru, stay in an amazingly beautiful retreat center with vegetarian, vegan meals every single day, going on the same adventures I went on in my book. So meditation hikes through the Andes Mountains, ecstatic dances, cacao ceremonies, a temazcal, which is a spiritual sweat lodge, Machu Picchu hike, and so much more. So if you're interested in that, I will also be linking a form below where you can fill out your information and you can choose from a few different dates that we have in mind. So we either want to do this in September, October, or in December after Christmas, so it'll be over New Year's. So I know I have a lot of people who are in college following me or people who have full-time jobs. So please let me know what kind of date ranges you're interested in, and then I can plan the trip around that. I have to plan the trip pretty soon. All of the details will be out in June. So if you're really interested in this and you have a very specific date in mind, then definitely fill out the form below so that I can keep that in mind when creating the trip. Also, if you have any questions about any of this, my book, the trip, anything in general, spirituality, message me on Instagram and I'm pretty quick to reply there. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you on the next episode. Peace out.